If you run or work for a small to medium-sized business, you've probably heard this sort of ticking clock in your IT department lately. It's the sound of your legacy database. Maybe an aging Oracle, MySQL, perhaps Microsoft SQL Server, and it's demanding more and more specialized maintenance.
Yeah, while your competitors are just zooming past with cloud speed.
Exactly. In 2025, for SMBs, this really isn't just a technical choice anymore. It's become a critical strategic decision. You're choosing between holding back essential business growth or, well, unlocking a massive competitive advantage.
Absolutely.
Our sources today, they're basically like a comprehensive migration playbook. It seems really custom-tailored for business leaders who are looking to make that pivot, away from the old SQL infrastructure and into the modern world of API-driven data architecture.
That's right. And our mission here in this deep dive is really to give you a shortcut, help you get well informed on this vital transition. We're analyzing the hard data from these sources to actually quantify the measurable operational disadvantages of just staying put.
And those disadvantages are significant.
Oh, they are. Believe me, the hidden total cost of ownership, it can be staggering. And at the same time, we want to highlight the strategic benefits of moving forward. So we're going to help you understand not just what to do, but honestly, why delaying this decision is actively costing your business growth.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Let's start with the foundational problem. I mean, traditional SQL databases, they've been the backbone of business for decades, right?
For sure. Solid technology for its time.
But when we talk about modern SMBs, businesses that need to serve mobile users, handle global traffic, integrate cloud services, why are these legacy systems, well, failing them now?
Yeah, it really boils down to the architecture being fundamentally restrictive. I'd say the primary failure point is what you could call the scalability ceiling.
Scalability ceiling, okay.
Legacy SQL systems, they were built on a model of vertical scaling. That means you handle more load by throwing more powerful hardware at a single server.
Yeah.
Bigger box, more RAM, faster CPU.
The traditional way.
The traditional way. But they were just never designed to handle the massive data volumes, and especially the sheer number of concurrent user requests that modern global cloud apps demand.
So when a business hits that ceiling.
When you hit that ceiling, the only traditional solution is getting back on that expensive hardware treadmill. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade.
Okay, but wait. If I'm an SMB leader listening to this, I might think, my legacy SQL system is already paid for. I own the license. I own the hardware. How can the total cost of ownership, the TCO, really be higher on an existing system compared to migrating to something brand new? Where are those hidden costs coming from?
That's a really crucial question, and it trips a lot of people up. The cost isn't just that initial licensing fee you paid maybe years ago. It's the ongoing operational drain.
Operational drain, like what specifically?
Okay, first, personnel. You need specialized database administrators, DBAs, often just to keep the lights on. They're managing complex backup infrastructure, performing regular patching, wrestling with license compliance. It's a lot.
And DBAs aren't cheap.
Not at all. And that's a significant drain on limited SMB IT resources. Second, the cost of downtime or even just performance degradation. When you hit that performance ceiling we talked about, your valuable IT staff gets diverted. Instead of building new features, they're basically performing expensive system babysitting, just trying to prevent a costly outage.
Okay, that makes sense. And I imagine the headache only gets worse when you try to connect that old system to the outside world, right? If I want my decade-old database to talk to my new SaaS CRM or maybe a new customer-facing mobile app, that's not just plug and play.
Oh, far from it. That's where you instantly incur massive technical debt. Connecting older SQL systems to modern cloud services, it demands custom middleware, incredibly complicated ETL processes, extract, transform, load.
Right, ETL, data shuffling.
Exactly. You're essentially constantly writing custom code just to translate data between your old proprietary system and the modern standardized world. That's labor-intensive, it's brittle, meaning it breaks easily, and it's expensive to maintain over time.
So the operational cost includes the specialized people, the complex custom plumbing. What about security? Are these older systems inherently less safe too?
Generally, yes, because they often lack modern security architecture by default. Older database versions are missing many of the inherent security features built into modern cloud platforms. This definitely increases vulnerability to breaches.
And compliance must be tougher too.
Absolutely. Maintaining compliance standards, whether that's GDPR, APA, PCI DSS, whatever applies to you, it becomes a constant uphill battle with aging infrastructure. Things like granular audit trails and fine-grained access controls can be really difficult to implement and manage effectively. It's frankly a risk profile that modern SMBs just can't afford to maintain anymore.
Okay, so the picture for legacy SQL is challenging. Scalability limits, operational drain, integration nightmare, security risks.
It adds up quickly. But what's fascinating here and where things get more optimistic is how modern API architectures fundamentally resolve these legacy issues. They do it by changing the entire relationship between the application and the data.
How so? What's the core change?
We shift the access point. Instead of applications directly querying a proprietary database, they interact with a defined, standardized API layer. That API becomes the gatekeeper, the translator.
And that shift, I assume that immediately helps with the scalability problem we started with. We move away from that limiting vertical scaling.
Precisely. We move to horizontal scaling. API-based architectures are typically cloud-native, which means they're designed to distribute the load across multiple resources, multiple servers, potentially. Huh. So if you suddenly get a massive traffic spike, maybe a marketing campaign goes viral, the cloud platform can automatically spin up new instances, new servers to handle the demand. It distributes the load, scales resources up, and crucially, scales them back down when the spike is over.
All without manual intervention.
Ideally, yes, without needing someone to manually provision a bigger server in a panic. This is why these cloud-native systems can regularly achieve those high uptime guarantees, you know, 99.9% or even higher. They're designed for resilience and variable volume from the ground up.
I really like the concept you mentioned, decoupling. The API layer decouples things. For our non-developer listeners, what does that decoupling actually buy a business in terms of day-to-day agility?
Decoupling the data layer from the application layer. It's a strategic game changer, seriously. It means your back-end data sources can be modified or even completely swapped out.
Like switching database provider.
Exactly. You could switch database providers, add completely new types of data sources, change vendors behind the scenes, all without having to rewrite the front-end applications that rely on that data, as long as the API contract remains stable.
That sounds like it would reduce technical debt significantly.
Dramatically. It makes systems so much easier to maintain.
Yeah.
And think about developer onboarding. New hires only need to understand the defined API contract, the rules of how to ask for data, not the deep, complex, often undocumented quirks of the underlying proprietary database they're talking to. It accelerates everything.
Okay, so if integration complexity was a killer for legacy systems, what does the modern API architecture offer there? Does that whole ETL nightmare just evaporate?
It simplifies dramatically. I wouldn't say evaporate entirely in all cases, but it gets much, much simpler because APIs inherently speak the universal language of the modern web.
Which is?
We're talking about standardized formats, mainly RESTful, JSON, or maybe GraphQL. RESTful JSON is essentially the standard envelope, the standard way modern applications package and exchange data, so your systems become inherently more compatible right out of the box.
Meaning less need for that custom middleware and those complex translation layers.
Exactly. You eliminate a huge chunk of that custom plumbing just to get two systems to talk to each other reliably.
Makes sense. And for security, we touched on legacy systems playing catch-up. What specific fortifications are kind of built into the modern API approach?
Well, modern API gateways, the systems that manage the APIs, they provide robust authentication, authorization, rate limiting, and encryption pretty much out of the box. They offer granular control that legacy systems often struggle with.
You give an example.
Sure. They typically utilize industry standards like OAuth 2.0 and JWT tokens. OAuth 2.0 provides a secure standard for delegated access, think login with Google. Your application can access data on behalf of a user without ever storing their password.
Yep.
And JWT tokens, they're like verifiable digital identity cards passed along with each request. They ensure that every single call to the data layer is properly authenticated and authorized. This gives you much tighter, more modern security control over your data assets.
Right. Tying all this back to cost, then, this fundamental shift must significantly impact that operational drain we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Especially for an SMB with limited resources.
Absolutely. The whole model shifts to leveraging the cloud effectively. You largely eliminate the need for expensive on-premises hardware, dedicated backup solutions, maybe even disaster recovery sites.
And the personnel cost. The DBAs.
The need for highly specialized, dedicated DBAs often decreases significantly. The cloud provider handles a lot of the underlying infrastructure management. the operational model becomes pay only for what you use on the cloud infrastructure. This automation, this optimized resource allocation, that's the engine driving that massive potential reduction in operational costs we see in the source materials.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me and probably for a lot of listeners. Knowing all these benefits, better scalability, agility, security, lower potential cost, how does an SMB leader actually make the leap? Without, you know, shutting down operations or causing chaos, for many, replacing the core database sounds like a terrifying big bang risk.
And that fear is completely justified. It is a significant undertaking, which is why the migration playbooks we looked at emphasize extreme risk minimization. The absolute non-negotiable starting point is a comprehensive audit.
An audit, what does that involve?
You have to meticulously document every single database instance, understand its usage patterns, and this is critical, map out every dependency, every application, every report, every stored procedure, every trigger that touches that database. You absolutely cannot skip this step.
You mentioned stored procedures and triggers. Why do those pose such a specific threat or challenge during migration? For many older systems, isn't that where years of undocumented business logic ends up living?
That's precisely it. They are often complex pieces of internal logic written in proprietary SQL dialects that execute directly on the database server itself. They're not separate application code.
So you can't just copy them over.
Exactly. If you move to a new data architecture, maybe a different type of database or just an API layer, you can't just lift and shift that logic. You have to refactor it. You have to pull that logic out, understand it, and rewrite it, probably as part of a new decoupled API service layer.
And that sounds like where projects can get bogged down.
It's where most migration timelines tend to bloat and costs can escalate unexpectedly because you're essentially reverse engineering years, maybe decades, of accumulated, often poorly documented business rules. It requires careful planning.
Okay, so the audit is step one, and it needs to be thorough, especially around that embedded logic. Once that's done, what's the safest way for a risk-averse SMB to actually execute the move? Is it always a big bang cutover?
No, definitely not. The sources strongly recommend avoiding the Big Bang if at all possible. The preferred approaches are either a phased migration,
meaning
you move data and functionality incrementally, perhaps module by application module, or what's often even safer is conducting a parallel run.
Parallel run. So running both systems at once.
Yes. You maintain both the legacy system and the new API architecture simultaneously for a period. You keep the data sync between them, run traffic through both, compare results, until you achieve full confidence in the new platform's stability, performance, and accuracy.
That sounds much less risky.
It is. That parallel process, while maybe slightly more complex to set up initially, is often the key to ensuring business continuity during the transition.
Okay, and what's a realistic timeline we should prepare for? If I have a moderately complex SMB system, how long am I potentially looking at for this kind of migration?
Based on the data in the sources, most SMBs seem to complete the migration using a phased or parallel approach in roughly 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months. Okay, that feels manageable.
Yeah, it generally provides enough time for that detailed planning phase, the necessary refactoring of that tricky logic we discussed, and importantly, rigorous testing before you make the final cutover and decommission the old system.
Right, which brings us to the real payoff, doesn't it? The ROI. If I, as a business leader, invest the resources for that 3 to 6 month migration effort, what are the quantitative financial gains that actually justify it?
Well, the measurable results reported are pretty compelling, and they speak directly back to that TCO issue we discussed. Businesses consistently report a dramatic 60 to 80% reduction in infrastructure costs.
Wow, 60 to 80%, that's huge. Where does that primarily come from?
Largely by eliminating or drastically reducing the need for expensive on-premises hardware, dedicated backup infrastructure, software licensing for the old database, and of course, reducing the reliance on those high-salaried specialized DBA roles.
60 to 80% reduction.
Yeah.
That's potentially transformational for an SMB budget. And it's not just about cutting costs, right? You mentioned agility earlier. Does this migration translate into faster product development too?
It absolutely does. The efficiency gain there is often staggering. Companies report achieving 3 to 5 times faster development cycles.
3 to 5 times faster. How?
Because developers are spending significantly less time wrangling with proprietary database quirks, fighting integration issues, or waiting for database changes, and more time actually building innovative features and responding to market needs.
So faster development, lower running costs. What about the upfront investment? Migrations aren't free.
No, they're not. The initial cost can range pretty significantly depending on complexity, maybe from $25,000 for a simpler case to well over $150,000, or even more for complex scenarios. However, the key finding is that the investment is typically recouped within a very swift 12 to 18 months.
12 to 18 months payback.
Yeah, due to those massive operational savings kicking in and the accelerated development speed allowing you to innovate faster.
That's a remarkably fast return on what sounds like a highly strategic investment. But let's just pause for a second and issue a critical caution.
Mm-hmm.
What are the common pitfalls? What traps identified in the playbook do leaders absolutely need to avoid during this process?
That's essential. The sources highlight three critical traps very clearly. First, perhaps unsurprisingly, is insufficient planning.
Rushing the audit phase.
Exactly. Rushing that initial audit and assessment phase, not fully understanding the dependencies or the complexity, almost always leads to severe technical failures down the line and massive cost overruns. Planning is paramount.
Okay. Number one is bad planning. What's second?
Second, as we've touched upon, underestimating data complexity. Specifically, never assume those years of accumulated stored procedures and proprietary triggers will translate easily. You must allocate adequate time, budget, and expertise for refactoring that core business logic properly. Don't wave it away.
Got it. Don't underestimate the hidden logic.
Hmm.
And the third trap.
The third one is critical for risk management. Lack of a clear rollback plan.
A rollback plan.
Meaning you must have a clearly documented, tested procedure for reverting back to the stable legacy system if critical show-stopping issues arise during the final cutover phase or immediately after in post-migration testing. Treating the migration as a one-way street, a point of no return, is extremely risky for the business.
Plan, understand the complexity, and have an escape hatch. Makes sense.
If we kind of connect all this back to the bigger picture, database modernization, yeah. It really isn't just a technical checkbox exercise. It is the fundamental strategy for maintaining business agility and, frankly, competitive advantage in today's economy.
Right.
The operational burden, the technical constraints, the security risks imposed by these proprietary legacy SQL architectures, they're simply no longer sustainable for many SMBs, especially when competitors are leveraging the speed, the flexibility, and the cost efficiency of modern APIs. That technology gap, it's just widening daily.
And it strikes me that the effort involved in that refactoring you mentioned, pulling out that old, maybe murky SQL logic and turning it into clear, defined API endpoints, while it sounds like hard work.
It can be.
It's also a massive opportunity, isn't it? It's a chance to actually audit, optimize, maybe even completely modernize years of accumulated business logic that was previously hidden away and perhaps inefficient, trapped inside proprietary database code.
That's a great point. The refactoring process, done right, almost forces you to cleanse and rationalize the system. It's a strategic cleanup.
So wrapping up, you've heard the potential here. You've seen the numbers from the sources, a potential 60 to 80% operational cost reduction, recouping that migration investment in perhaps just over a year.
The ROI is compelling.
It really is. So the critical question for you listening probably isn't whether to migrate eventually, but maybe it's this. What innovative initiatives could you fund with those savings? What new products, faster features, better customer experiences will you launch once you eliminate that specialized database administrator burden and get off that costly, outdated hardware treadmill? That's the true power, the real strategic potential behind this pivot.